Welcome to God Cares for You, a series of radio broadcasts featuring Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches the truth of the Word of God in a simple and understandable way that is easy to apply to your everyday life. Here's Pastor Rory Clark.
You know, you've probably heard of the Titanic, a British passenger liner that sank in the North Atlantic in the early morning of April 15, 1912. The passenger liner sank after colliding with an iceberg during her maiden voyage from Southampton, UK to New York City, USA. Shortly after the construction of the Titanic, one of the men who built the ship was asked by a reporter how safe the Titanic would be. And with a confident tone, he said, "My friend, not even God can sink the Titanic." I think we all know what happened to the Titanic. But the shipbuilder was right. God didn't sink it. On a separate note, former Beatle John Lennon said during a 1966 interview, "Christianity will end. It will disappear. I don't have to argue about that. I am certain." Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. Today, the Beatles are more famous than him. Maybe, but the Beatles certainly weren't the sovereign God of the universe. Or how about the world-famous sex kitten, Marilyn Monroe? Evangelist Billy Graham visited her during one of her shows, and he told her that the Holy Spirit of God had sent him to preach to her. And after hearing what he had to say about God, Marilyn Monroe said, "I don't need your Jesus." A week later, she was found dead in her apartment. It's safe to say that there are many people who come to this earth who ignore the real problem they have from the moment of physical birth. And ignoring this predicament is probably the worst mistake any human being can make in this life. In today's lesson, we'll remind ourselves of the predicament of physical birth, and we'll celebrate when we realize how our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, offers us a way out of the predicament. Today's study, if you don't think you need Jesus, you better think again. For the past several lessons, we've been studying what I call the consequences of sin passage from Paul's letter to Roman believers in Christ, which is in the New Testament of the Bible. And the passage extends from Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And the passage is downright depressing because everything it says is true. In God's eyes, we're guilty as charged of breaking God's laws. We are absolutely unable, no matter how hard we try, to keep God's laws. We are caught red-handed by God, and we are as guilty as the adulterous woman in John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. John 8, 1, "But Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives." John 8, 2, "Early in the morning, he came again into the temple." It was the women's section of the temple. "And all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them." John 8, 3, "The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act.'" She was caught red-handed. She is guilty as charged. The man she was with, of course, is nowhere to be found. He was probably a scribe or a Pharisee. But an omniscient God, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew this event would happen a billion years before it did. And he was certainly prepared for it. John 8, 5. "Now in the Mosaic law," the Pharisees and scribes continued, "Moses commanded us to stone such women to death. What then do you say?" Ironic, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who, in his pre-incarnate state before he took on bodily form, gave Moses the Mosaic law. And now these learned scribes and Pharisees are asking the Lord Jesus Christ what he thinks about the law that he wrote. John 8, 6, "The scribes and the Pharisees were saying this, testing Jesus, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground." What is the Lord Jesus Christ to do with this absolutely guilty, caught red-handed violator of the Mosaic law, who according to a law that Jesus wrote deserved death? John 8, 7. "But when the scribes and Pharisees persisted in asking Jesus about the woman, the Lord straightened up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. John 8:8, and again Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. John 8:9. When the scribes and Pharisees heard what Jesus said, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman, where she was in the center of the court, was there alone with him. John 8:10, straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" John 8:11, she said, "No one condemned me, Lord." And Jesus said, "I did not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more." That's how the Lord Jesus Christ deals with absolutely guilty, caught red-handed violators of the law. Can you imagine the feeling of being guilty, though, as this woman was, caught in the act with no way to plead yourself out of the situation? Well, if you've been paying attention over the last several lessons, the consequences of sin passage would help you to imagine it. Because you are guilty, you are caught in the act, and there is no way to plead yourself out of the situation. This is your predicament from the moment of physical birth. And lately, I found myself around a lot of people who are guilty of something awful, and they know it. Equally, I've found myself around people who are guilty of something awful, and they don't think they are. People like John Lennon and Marilyn Monroe. If you're computer savvy, and you want something interesting to reflect on, go to a search engine and type in Marilyn Monroe autopsy photos. You will see a picture of Marilyn Monroe taken moments after her death. And I wonder if in the few desperate hours before what is called her probable suicide, she ever thought of Jesus as the way out of her predicament. She had been introduced to him a few days before by Billy Graham, and she rejected him, just as she probably rejected him several times during her life when the truth of the gospel message was presented to her. Surely this was not the first time. And funny, she dies of an overdose of drugs. She needed barbiturates, but she didn't need Jesus. And as you look at her picture, there she lay as plain old Norma Jean Mortensen, born a foster child, born in Los Angeles, a woman who, even to this day, is revered as a sex symbol. There's a beautiful statue of her on the Gold Coast in Chicago. Revered as a sex symbol, yet a woman who perhaps never got out of her predicament from physical birth. Marilyn, like all of us, had a need from physical birth, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22a, those born in union with Adam are all set to die the second death from physical birth, the second death in the lake of fire. At physical birth, we are all born spiritually dead. We are all born in Adam. And the Lord Jesus Christ revealed it this way to a Pharisee, Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. John 3:1, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. John 3:2, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus in John 3:3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The Lord Jesus Christ got right to the heart of Nicodemus's predicament from physical birth, the same predicament that you and I and John Lennon and Marilyn Monroe had from birth. We are sinners because we have Adam's sin credited to us from birth. Thus, we are helpless, we are hopeless, we are guilty, we are ungodly, we are unrighteous, because we have all broken God's law and because we all have Adam's sin. We are born with a need for a Savior. We need righteousness to live with God forever, but we can't manufacture righteousness on our own. None of us enjoy having our nose rubbed in the dirt as it was done in the consequences of sin passage. Yet this is the first step in a magnificent unfolding of God's plan for his creatures. And for many of us, it takes a lot of nose rubbing to get us to see the truth of our predicament from physical birth. The admission ticket to heaven is righteousness. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for in the gospel, the righteousness from God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, the ticket to eternal life. But we aren't born with righteousness, and we can't manufacture it on our own. The alternative to having God's righteousness as a gift is to have the unrighteousness we possess at physical birth. And if we have that same unrighteousness when we die, we face God's wrath on our own. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath from God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of the gospel in unrighteousness." Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm grateful I let the Lord Jesus Christ face the wrath of his Father in my place at the cross. Without exception, every creature on earth knows the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ because God the Father makes it evident to them, both from within themselves and from outside of themselves. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ's invisible attributes, his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood even through what has been made, nature itself, so that all mankind are without excuse before the justice of God." The unbeliever, like John Lennon and Marilyn Monroe, reject the truth they have been given from God through people. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. Romans 1:21, "For even though unbelievers knew God exists, they did not honor him as God nor give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." Romans 1:22, "Professing to be wise, they became fools." Romans 1:23, "And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, in the form of birds, in the form of four-footed animals, and in the form of crawling creatures." We worship idols. What is God's response to unbelieving mankind? God gave them over. God let them go their own way. Rot-roll, that's not going to be good. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 says, "Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them." Those are the words you never want to hear. God gives you over to yourself. Rot-roll. So what did we learn in the consequences of sin passage, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 20? We learned that not just you, not just me, but the whole world, even famous people, all of us are helpless and hopeless to save ourselves. And if this is true, then why don't we just accept the facts? Why don't we get it that we are all lawbreakers? Why don't we get it that we are all guilty as charged? We learn that every description in the consequences of sin passage concerning the whole human race is true. Now, as we move to the next passage in Romans chapter 3, it begins with the word "but." And it's the best "but" in all of divine history, a "but" that changed everything about our helplessness and our hopelessness. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 begins with six beautiful words, "but now, apart from the law." Those words should make the lawbreaker breathe a sigh of relief. The consequences of sin passage is true, but in our normal everyday life, when we hear someone who is talking to us use the word "but," we know that the word "but" negates everything that comes before it. The word "but" actually bothers us. "You've really got a pretty face, but I thought you had a pretty good chance to get that mortgage, but what you're telling me sounds true, but." We know that when people use the word "but," they use it to dismiss everything that was said before the word "but." And we know they are about to lower the boom with everything they say after the word "but." Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is using the word "but" to dismiss some things as well. Six beautiful words, Romans 3:21, "but now, apart from the law." With the word "but," the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Paul, is dismissing everything that is true about his creatures in the consequences of sin passage. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to lower the boom on sin and the law by offering an alternative to worrying about sin and to following the law. The Lord is about to introduce something completely different, grace, which lowers the boom on sin and the law. It's an idea that most people who come to this world just can't accept. We need God's grace. yet many of us just will not accept it. Imagine this. When I go on vacation in Los Cabos, Mexico, as I pull up to one of the hotels I stay in, I have to pass through a guarded gate. I give them the magic word, and they lift the gate. And after I pass through the gate, it's about a half a mile to get to the hotel. Often, I see people walking toward the hotel. It's a long, hot walk, so I always stop and ask people if they want to ride to the hotel. About 1 in 10 say yes. And I always consider this to be funny. A woman alone, I can see her refusing. If I ask someone at night, I can see them refusing. But often, it'll be 3 guys who say no to the ride. They could easily overpower me if they wanted to. Offering them a ride really puts me at risk if you really think about it. The situation is a fitting analogy as we make the transition to the next passage in Romans. The gate is salvation. The one who's guarding the gate to salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ says to doubting Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me." The magic words that open the gate of salvation are, "Father, I believe in Christ." The gate goes up and we're in, admitted to the resurrection life, eternal life, freed from Adam's sin and freed from the law, freed from our guilt, freed from our shame. And so many of us are committed to working for eternity, the equivalent of walking to the hotel. The Lord Jesus Christ offers all mankind a ride on his back into eternity, just as I offered a ride to the people walking to the hotel. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, the Lord says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But it's pretty amazing how many people refuse. What did Marilyn Monroe say? "I don't need your Jesus." Well, if you don't think you need Jesus, you better think again. Maybe 1 in 10 take the free ride to salvation, and the others are committed to working for their own salvation. But Romans chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Working for your own salvation is a complete waste of time." Romans 11, 6, "If salvation is by means of God's grace," and it is, "it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, God's grace is no longer grace." If "but" negates everything that comes before it, this "but" in Romans chapter 3, verse 21 negates the power of sin and the power of the law. Romans 3:21, "but now, apart from the law." So do you still think it's your job to work for your own salvation? And are you still bound to sin and the law? Are you ready to be free from sin and the law? Well, in the next passage of Romans, freedom awaits. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling you to freedom. Will you come? But the best "but" in human history invites you to a world of grace. Here's Barah Ministry song worship leader June Murphy singing the song that she wrote and produced that reveals God's call in the next passage of Romans. The song is "Calling You to Freedom."
Christ, will you come to no more crime? to serve, freedom to love him, free by the word, freedom to trust him, free to obey, freedom to praise him, free to live his way, free from sin, slavery, free from the night, freedom to follow, free to bask in his light. He's calling you.
A couple of years ago, I had just returned from China, a long flight from Shanghai, and I was on the way home from the airport. It was after midnight, and I was pretty tired, and I couldn't wait to feel the comfort of my own bed. I was on a street in my own town that is a notorious speed trap where the speed drops from 45 to 25. And the speed drops solely, I am convinced, for the purpose of securing revenue for the city. I was guilty. I was going 53 and a 25, almost felonious speed. The lights came on, the policeman was there, I was busted. And I was praying it wasn't one of those cops who just write the ticket and that's that, one of those letter of the law cops. He wasn't. The officer was simply concerned about whether I was driving drunk. I hadn't had a drink, so he overlooked the speed offense. He checked my record, and seeing that I'm a law-abiding citizen, he just asked me to slow down. Thank you, officer. Grace. My prayer for you is that you may know that God's grace is available to you, and that you may know God's peace is available to you. And because God's grace is with you, you don't have to live under sin or the law any longer. You need to know why God created the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 20b says, "For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." The law teaches us that we're sinners in a predicament, but once you accept that the Lord Jesus Christ did something about your predicament by laying down his life for you at the cross, then you are free to have salvation by grace. That's what always tickles me about all the pretender gods with a small g. They claim to be God, but they never went to a cross to lay down their lives for you. You always pay the bill. The Lord Jesus Christ did go to a cross for you. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say, "My little children, believers in Christ, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, and of course we do, we have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the propitiation, the only perfectly satisfactory payment to God the Father for our sins, and not for our sins as believers in Christ only, but for the sins of the whole world, unbelievers as well." May you know freedom deep inside of yourself. May you know God's grace life available to you to appropriate right this very minute. May God's gracious offering of a salvation free of works and free of charge send a clear message to your soul that you have everything you need from God available to you. You don't think you need Jesus. You better think again.
You've been listening to Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches face-to-face lessons twice a week. For more information, especially on meeting locations, go to the Barah Ministries website at barahministries.com. That's B-A-R-A-H ministries.com. The God Cares For You radio broadcast can be heard every Sunday from 12 to 12:30 right here on KXDG 1280 on your AM radio dial.